relationship with the Supreme, Lord. So let's look at that for a little bit. So it said that no other incarnation had ever offered before. So does that mean all of the other previous avatars weren't distributing love of Godhead? No, they were. And people had relationships with those different avatars, but not in the same way, not at the same level of understanding. Not in the same way. So there, you know, Lord Ram offered love of God. There's so many devotees of Lord Ram. Hanuman would do anything to serve the Lord. He had great love for Lord. But they still, all those different levels of relationships were not offered. Lord Vamana, he had his devotees. Even Matsya has his devotees who think he's the most beautiful fish incarnation that they've ever seen. You know, they're totally enamored with that Lord. But that love that's offered by the explanation or the understanding or giving us the impetus to achieve or to strive for those higher levels of the five primary rasas, you know, either even servitude or friendship or parental or conjugal love, and then the higher levels of conjugal loving affairs, that was never explained or offered to people in general before. And very few people had access to it. So, again, we're stressing how Lord Chaitanya very kindly is giving access to all of us who, counterintuitively, are the most disqualified, are the most unqualified, you could say, to understand it. So you think of, let's say, like an example of like a mother who has many, a few children. And who does she give her most attention to? If the child is weak or sickly or whatever, she gives the most attention because he's needing, that person is needy, that little individual soul is needy. There's the mother's shame, yep. Some of the mother, you know, that because of the knees. So Lord Chaitanya is giving us the most sickly, weak little runt of the families, and he's giving us the potency is there in his teachings and the chanting of the Hare Krishna, and he's exhibiting how to do it. And not only is that amazing, but also it's the most sublime and easily executed process. When you think of the different austerities that people have to undergo to reach higher levels of realization in previous ages, it's just beyond our conception and quite honestly, totally unappealing to execute. You know, it's like, forget it, you know. But chanting Hare Krishna, associating with the devotees, trying to hear about Krishna from the pure devotee and speak of his glories and take prasadam, don't forget that part, right? Chanting, dancing, and taking prasadam, it's the most sublime process, yielding the highest beneficial result. So it's very important for us as we try to absorb this philosophy in greater and greater extents and implement it in our lives, that we focus our mind that actually we're devoting ourselves, we're trying to devote ourselves to that Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna, as he's explained in so many places, he's the source of everything. He's the air that we breathe, he's the water, he's this, he's the source of the water, he's the source of all the universes, he's the source of all so many things. But he has his personal abode. That's Goloka Vrindavan. And that relationships, he exhibits those intimate relationships in Goloka Vrindavan. So that's an important aspect of focus for us when we're chanting. And so then we can also talk about why, comparatively speaking, Chaitanya Charitamrita, why is it considered the proper book for this age? So in Srimad Bhagavatam, because reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita with just a drop of sincerity from the proper person, one can easily understand the, you know, what the highest level of God realization. In Srimad Bhagavatam, important, the Srimad Bhagavatam is described like a lamp, like the sun, and Mohini Murti. Throughout the different verses, there's three different comparisons of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to a lamp in the first canto, second chapter, verse number 3. Yatsvanubhava akila shruti sharam, the essence, shruti sharam ekam, adhyatma deepam, atitirta shatam tamondyam, samarshanam karunadaya purana guyam, tam vyasam shunam, upayami gurum muninam. The translation is, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, Shuka, the spiritual master of all the sages, the son of Vyasadeva, who, out of his great compassion for those gross materialists who struggled to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge, Shruti Sharam Ekam, after having personally assimilated it by experience. So it's like a lamp that is showing us this highest level of realization. It's also, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that the lamp of Srimad Bhagavatam, it destroys darkness by its light, the light of knowledge. How? It destroys darkness of ignorance by delineating the transcendental features of the absolute truth, Sri Krishna. It shows his, less like Bhagavatam also, it's compared to the different volumes of the Bhagavatam, compared to his lotus feet, his thighs and torso, and the smiling faces of the 10th canto. It's revealing the form of the Lord to us. It's also described as the sun. Krishna Svadhammapagate, that's a very famous verse from third chapter of first canto. Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna for his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So very, very important the role that Srimad Bhagavatam plays. But however, not everybody who reads Srimad Bhagavatam, everybody, because not everybody reads Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, but not everybody who reads the Bhagavatams comes to these conclusions of Prema Bhakti. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments in the verse in the 12th chapter, 13th verse, that's actually 12th chapter, 13th verse, that's the end of the Bhagavatam. 13th chapter is the end of the Bhagavatam. And this is, and I think there's like 24, 25 verses, right? I think in that 13th chapter, not very many. This is the 11th and 12th verse. I'll spare you my bumbling Sanskrit. And here's the translation. From the beginning to end, the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of narrations that encourage renunciation of material life, as well as nectarian accounts of Lord Hari's transcendental pastimes, which give ecstasy to the saintly devotees and demigods. This Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedanta philosophy because its subject matter is the absolute truth, which, while non-different from the spirit soul, is the ultimate reality, one without a second. The goal of this literature is exclusive devotional service unto that supreme truth. So there again, it is described how Srimad Bhagavatam again is focused on revealing the absolute truth. But unfortunately, sometimes people squeeze different interpretations of that absolute truth from the Bhagavatam and come up with erroneous conclusions. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his comments to this verse, he says that Bhagavatam is just like Mohini Murti. Mohini Murti, she gave nectar to the demigods, and she also bewildered the demons by they were thinking that she was going to give the nectar to them also. So they were patiently waiting and very disappointed that they didn't get it. But they were thinking they were going to get it, but she bewildered them. So sometimes that bewildering potency is there in the Bhagavatam because sometimes different aspects of the absolute truth are also praised in the Bhagavatam. But by reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, nobody can misunderstand the ecstasies of Lord Chaitanya. Well, somebody probably could, but most people couldn't, you know. They can understand the focus of Lord Chaitanya's loving transcendental ecstasies in serving the Supreme Lord. Jai Shri Shri Gorni Tai. We'll see you soon again. Hare Krishna. Back to the word access and the concept of the access that Lord Chaitanya is giving us access to Krishna's highest level of mercy. How do we get access? How do we get access to Lord Chaitanya's mercy? Or better said, is what is the proof that one has the mercy, that one has received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? And there's two little Chaitanya Leelas that I'm going to try to, it's already 9:30, I'm going to try to talk about. And that is when Lord Chaitanya had his meeting with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because that's where this subject came up, who has the access to Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So a brief introduction to this story. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was one of the highest ranking scholars, or, you know, highest accredited scholars in that age. And Sarvabhauma actually meant, usually people, they study one aspect of transcendental understanding and they become expert in that. Sarvabhauma meant he studied everything, and he was expert at all of them. so he was there in Jagannath Puri when Lord Chaitanya, in his ecstasy, entered running into the temple to see Lord Jagannath. He was so anxious. He had, by tricks and different aspects of the pastime, he had left his associates behind, and he ran ahead into the temple to see Lord Jagannath. He was so overwhelmed when he entered the temple by Lord Jagannath's grandeur and mercy that he rushed forward in love with his arms outstretched just to embrace the Lord, which was totally not the proper etiquette to behave, to execute in the temple room, especially in Jagannath Puri. But before he even reached the Lord, he fainted in ecstasy and fell flat on the floor there in ecstasy. The guards, without much understanding of Lord Chaitanya's position or what he was doing, were upset by his activities of rushing forward. And then he was there, you know, unconscious on the floor. They were still going to beat him. They were ready to beat him and drag him out, you know, this upstart, this disturbing the peace here, not following proper rules and regulations. But Sarvabhauma was there. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there, present. Now, he was the spiritual master of the king. He was greatly respected. He had huge following, this and that. So the guards gave way to the desires of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and said, when he said, don't touch him, don't beat him. In fact, why don't you just bring him to my house? Just bring him to my house. Sarvabhauma, not understanding at that particular point in time, he didn't understand that Lord Chaitanya was God. He wasn't even inclined to think of God as a person so much. He was more like a gyani, nyaya, you know, logic and this and that. So, but because he had studied everything, he was amazed at Lord Chaitanya's fainting and ecstasy, etc., etc. So they brought him to his house. He's there unconscious, and after a little while, there was a knock on the door, and the devotees who were Nityananda and Gopinathacharya was there, and some other devotees came in. Is our master here? We've heard that he's here. And Sarvabhauma said, yes, he's here. He said, we know how to revive him. So when Lord Chaitanya, at that point, he wasn't even hardly breathing. Even a fine cotton swab under his nose didn't move at all, so he wasn't hardly breathing. And Sarvabhauma, because he had also read the Vaishnava literature, was aware that this was a manifestation of the highest state of higher states of prema, that he was aware that this is unusual. I wonder what's going on here. Anyway, the devotees started to chant Hare Krishna, and Sarvabhauma spontaneously felt a little attracted to chanting, and he started chanting. And he thought, maybe this person is the Supreme Lord, maybe. And then he said, no. And watch out, control yourself. Get a grip. Come on. There's no incarnation in the age of Kali, this and that, you know, get a grip. Okay, and then he calmed down and the other devotees were chanting. Then Lord Chaitanya came to consciousness again, regained his external consciousness, and he jumped up and started chanting, and Sarvabhauma couldn't help it. He also was chanting a little bit, just a little bit, and then he caught a grip of himself. That was the, perhaps we, some of us might have exhibited a little of that yes, no type of attitude when we first saw the devotees. I can remember first seeing the devotees, I don't remember when it was, but I remember in Boston Common they were chanting, and I was coming up from the subway, and there was all these orange robes and chanting, and I thought, oops, let me go the other way. Oop, this is kind of unusual. Oop. And there's so many stories of people like, you know, devotees, that was their first thing. I don't know. Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, when he was speaking on this, he said the very first time he heard the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra was from his roommate in college. He was already doing his whatever, master's or whatever. And his roommate was in the shower, chanting Hare Krishna in the shower. That was the first time Maharaj had heard the Hare Krishna mantra. And he thought, what is he doing? What is he saying? And he thought, oh, it sounds really interesting. It sounds really no. You know, because he was also very academically inclined, and was at that time. And so, you know, he had that yes, no, could be not, you know. He said, little did I know that I would be chanting Hare Krishna for 40 years after that and teaching other people to chant Hare Krishna, but that wasn't my first reaction, that it was really nice. But anyway, so Lord Chaitanya regained consciousness, etc., and I'm giving you a very simplified version of this story, so I know there are more details, but we're skipping a lot of them, weaving our way through it. At a certain point, Sarvabhauma was attracted to Lord Chaitanya, and he wanted to offer some service. So, but he wasn't accepting him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know. He wasn't accepting him as his Supreme Personality. To have a birth like that, how auspicious, huh? You know, Hare Krishna. Okay, Sarvabhauma wasn't accepting him as a Supreme. Okay, he invited him to dinner and he was serving him, etc., etc. Then Gopinath Acharya, who happened to be Sarvabhauma's son-in-law, he was married to his daughter. And Gopinath Acharya's reaction upon seeing Lord Chaitanya, this wasn't his first time to see Lord Chaitanya, Gopinath Acharya, but the first time that he did see Lord Chaitanya, he immediately was attracted and he immediately accepted him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was dismayed, to say the least, that Lord Chaitanya, that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wasn't feeling the same way towards Lord Chaitanya. And so he tried to encourage him along the way to make further understanding. So he was saying, he was talking with, Lord Chaitanya wasn't present, and he was talking with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, telling how he's the incarnation of this in this age. Sarvabhauma, you know, going through his files in his head, how many incarnations of the Lord are, what's the incarnation for this age of Kali, and he didn't come up with any file on who is the incarnation for of the Lord in this age of Kali, because he's Channa avatar, he's the disguised avatar. He came as a devotee, not as exhibiting himself as the Supreme Lord. But he used his secret weapon. What was his secret weapon? His secret weapon was his beauty and his attractiveness to people. And that attracted them. And by his beauty, he would attract people to humility, etc., etc. Okay. Now, Sarvabhauma, on inquiring about Lord Chaitanya, where he came from, oh, he came from Navadvip. Oh, his father was Jagannath Mishra. Oh, and Lord Sarvabhauma had lived in Navadvip previous to going to Jagannath Puri. And in fact, he had a school in Navadvip. He had a big school, and everybody, all the students were like vying for positions to get into that school. And just to put it in a little bit of a perspective of how how intelligent Sarvabhauma was and how intelligent his students were. He had one student named Raghunath Shiromani. Raghunath Shiromani, he was a contemporary, a little bit older than Lord Chaitanya. He was like 25 years old when Lord Chaitanya was 13, 14. So he's like, you know, twice the age. But anyway, when he was 25, he was even more brilliant than Sarvabhauma. So Sarvabhauma had memorized this one book called Tattva Chintamani. Thank you, Krishna. Tattva Chintamani, which is a book on logic and nyaya that was very difficult to understand. And it was being kept by some devotees in a very secretive way, so it wasn't a highly available book. So Sarvabhauma got to read it and memorized the whole thing just on the first reading. And Raghunath Shiromani, he also, as a student of Sarvabhauma, he had heard it, and he was even more brilliant, you know, philosophically speaking, in logic, than Sarvabhauma. But anyway, so Raghunath Shiromani and Lord Chaitanya, Sarvabhauma had a school in Navadvip before going to Jagannath Puri, so they were both in that school, and they were friends. And one day, Lord Chaitanya went over to Raghunath's house, and it was in the evening time, and Raghunath was cooking dinner, and Lord Chaitanya said, "Hey, Raghunath, what happened? How come you're eating your dinner now? You're supposed to eat it at noontime. That's very Brahminical. Your big meal is supposed to be noontime, midday." And, you know, and he said, "Well, you know, yesterday Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gave me this logical puzzle, a riddle that I had to figure out. He wants me to figure out this riddle. And I was cracking my brain all day yesterday and all day today to figure out, to solve this riddle. And I finally solved it, so now I'm getting ready to eat." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh, really? What was the riddle?" And he told him the riddle, and Lord Chaitanya told him the answer. "Oh, this is the answer." And Raghunath Shiromani was humiliated. He was floored by how quickly Lord Chaitanya just, you know, rattled off the answer. Then another incident happened when they were, Raghunath and Chaitanya were going down on a boat to go to school, the toll of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Navadvip. And Raghunath was saying how he had written a commentary on this Tattva Chintamani. And he said, "Oh, nice." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh, that's wonderful. I have too. I wrote a commentary on it too." And Raghunath is just nearing the end. He said, "Oh," he said very carefully, he said, "Oh, could you read me yours? Could I hear your commentary?" And Lord Chaitanya said, sure, tomorrow. I'll bring it tomorrow. We can check it out." And so the next day came. They're reading, Lord Chaitanya's reading. Now, Raghunath, he did that knowing full well that somebody who has written a book but hasn't published it yet, usually they don't share what's in the book before it gets published, because a lot of times your ideas get stolen and manipulated and you get credit and, "Oh no, and I'm only halfway through." Anyway, but Lord Chaitanya said, "Sure, no problem." Next day they're reading the reading, and as Lord Chaitanya is reading from his commentary, Raghunath is getting more and more depressed and discouraged, to the point that he starts to cry. He starts to cry. Lord Chaitanya's like reading, and he's looking at him, and his tears are coming down his eyes. And it's, you know, there's happy tears and sad tears. These weren't the happy tears. These were the sad, envious tears, you know. So if your commentary is way more concise and clear and unique than mine, and if your book gets published, my book will just be in the trash. And I've been writing this for 4 years now. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Really, Raghunath, that's what's bothering you? No problem." And he took his book and he threw it in the Ganges. Amazing, huh? Okay, so that was just a little tidbit of information that I found. Since I don't have any realizations, when I find out little new information, I like to share that, so you might think that I know stuff, but I don't know anything. I just heard it from somebody else. But anyway, okay, so Sarvabhauma, not accepting Lord Chaitanya as yet, up to this point, he speaks to Gopinath Acharya, please invite your Lord to come to my house again. I want to feed your Lord. And by the way, I also want to, I found out that he took sannyas in the Bharati Sampradaya. I want to school him and teach him things, and I want to elevate him to a higher status because he's so young. He's only 24 years old. He took sannyas. He doesn't know what he's doing. I just want to help, you know. And Gopinath Acharya was fuming inside. But because he's the father-in-law and he's the son-in-law, he was minding his position. And also because he knew Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was not an easy person to defeat, you know, let's just say, oh, you know, why not consider this? He'd give 10,000 reasons why you didn't have to consider that, but this is much better. So he didn't even want to go there and try to defeat him with logic and argument or scriptural evidence. So, but every time that, here's another little, very important part of this story. So after that discussion with Sarvabhauma, Gopinath Acharya, still upset within himself that Sarvabhauma was not accepting the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, went home to his home deities, and he did his little achman, and he sipped his achman. And he said before his deities, he said, I make a vow that from today on I will not eat one or drink one morsel of food or water until Sarvabhauma becomes a disciple or becomes or acknowledges Lord Chaitanya's position. I'm not going to do it. Even if I have to die, I'm not doing it. And it just so happened that Mukunda was there at this time, and he heard Gopinath's vow. So in course of talking to Lord Chaitanya to invite him to Sarvabhauma's the next day, Gopinath is there, and so is Mukunda. And so when they invite him to extend the invitation to Sarvabhauma again, to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya says, oh, Sarvabhauma, he's such a good well-wisher of mine. He said, yes, he wants to teach you. He wants to teach you logic and everything. Oh, yes, I need to study that. My Guru Maharaj told me that I was a fool, so I do need to learn more things. And he said, oh, yes. And he wants to elevate you to a higher level of sannyas. Oh, yes, Sarvabhauma. Yes, Sarvabhauma is my well-wisher. He's looking out for me. And every reply that Lord Chaitanya had, Gopinath was fuming more and more. And so Mukunda finally said, what he really wants to say is that Gopinath Acharya. Mukunda said that Gopinath Acharya wants to fast till death until Sarvabhauma becomes your disciple and he will not eat anything else. So you have to do something to protect Mukunda. Thank you, Gopinath, from his own vow. And Lord Chaitanya's reaction was, oh, Krishna can do anything. And he's very protective of his devotees. Let's just see what happens, you know. So, point, you know, to make the point a little faster. So when Sarvabhauma at one point asked Gopinath Acharya, what's the proof that you have Lord Chaitanya's mercy? What's the proof? And he quoted that verse from Prasadalesha. Where is that? Okay, here it is. Tenth canto. This is from when Lord Brahma, after he stole the cows and the calves. Okay, that verse. Atapite deva padambujadaya prasadalesha anugrihita eva hi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno nachanyako. Nachanya eko pichirin vichindvam. My Lord, if one is favored even by a slight trace of the mercy at your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. So don't forget, this is what Gopinath Acharya is saying to Sarvabhauma. how he has to understand the Supreme Lord. He has to get the mercy of the Lord, or else he'll never understand that he's the Supreme Lord, okay? If one is favored even by a slight, not tons of mercy, even a prashada lesha, a little bit of prashada, a little bit of mercy at your lotus feet, he can understand your great mercy. But those who speculate, now like who's the speculator in the two? Sarvabhauma. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study for the Vedas for many years. So Gopinath is telling that to Sarvabhauma. And he said, well, I can understand that I don't have any mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Sarvabhauma said that. But what's the proof that you have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? And that's another important factor. Because of the good wishes of the devotees, and the encouragement from the devotees, then we can get that mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And when you think back on your life, all of us came through some personal interaction with the devotees. Perhaps even though one might have avoided the kirtan when they first see the kirtan, or they might have taken a book very reluctantly or whatever, and maybe read it and didn't understand anything, there was still some personal contact, someone that encouraged you and I and everyone to come forward, and by that encouragement, that little bit of mercy to see the presence of the Lord everywhere. That's the sign that you have the mercy of the Lord. Seeing the Lord's presence in everything is a sign that we have the mercy of the Lord. So again, we hear from Bhagavad Gita, I am the light of the sun and the moon, I'm the taste and water, I am this and that. So that gives us, when we're just looking at nature, we think that's Krishna, we see Krishna behind it. Then in our life, when some calamity happens and we think, what do we think? I don't deserve this. I'm a good this and that, and I don't deserve this. Then we think, oh no, everything we hear about, we've heard about the laws of karma, we've heard that nothing happens without Krishna's this, that devotees are specially protected by the Lord, and they're given special custom karma for making progress. And then just that understanding changes the whole perspective on the different challenging situations that we have in our life. So that's a sign of the mercy of the Lord, that we can see Krishna's kind hand in all of our lives and more and more throughout the day and throughout different situations. That's a sign. And that mercy comes by the mercy of the devotees, and that mercy of the devotees comes because Krishna's given them a drop of mercy, so it goes on and on and propagates. And that's what Lord Chaitanya came to give us, some of that access to that information. How much time do I have? Ha ha! Okay, so now... I'm only on page 12, and I have 16 pages. And I never take notes, but you all made me nervous today, so I took notes. Okay, so Lord Chaitanya's talks to Ramananda Roy, Ramananda Samvad, in the sixth chapter, Madhya Leela, very, very explicitly explicitly and clearly saying the different levels of understanding God realization. So this will give us another, solidify how fortunate we are, how Lord Chaitanya has given us access to this information, which doesn't, when I say the word information, I don't mean that it just stays like a blob of information, but it's the bhakti, it nourishes our bhakti within our heart for developing love for Krishna, but you have to have a little information on that. Okay, so in this situation, when Lord Chaitanya is speaking with Ramananda Roy, Ramananda takes the position of the spiritual teacher, and Lord Chaitanya takes the position of the student asking the questions. So the first question that Lord Chaitanya asks is, he says to says to... Thanks. I'm just testing you. I have it all really clear in my mind, but thanks for listening. So he's saying, Lord Chaitanya says, recite a verse from the revealed scriptures concerning the ultimate goal of life. That's how the conversation starts off. Tell me something about the scriptures that reveals what the goal of life is. So you remember? Okay, here's your little test. And all the ones that know it can't answer really fast. Well, I'm asking the ones that don't know it. Okay, do you remember? I'm just talking to myself. Do you remember what Ramananda Roy's first response was? When Lord Chaitanya said, recite a verse that concerning the ultimate goal of life, and Ramananda gives a response. Yes. Varnashram Dharma. Thank you, oh great sage. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Yes, so Ramananda replies that this the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashram. There's no other way to satisfy the Supreme Lord of the Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four Varnas and Ashram. And I'm sure you all know, even the Bengali, for what Lord Chaitanya said, Ekobaya. This is external. Yeah, it's external. Now, let's take another look at that. Lord Chaitanya is asking, he says, recite a verse from the revealed scriptures concerning the ultimate goal of life. So, when Ramananda replied, Varnashram Dharma, Lord Chaitanya said, that's not the goal of life, Varnashram Dharma. That might lead to you understanding what the goal of life is, but that's external. Oftentimes, and I admit I was in this category, that when we read that, I was thinking that Lord Chaitanya is rejecting Varnashram Dharma. He's not rejecting Varnashram Dharma. He's rejecting it as the ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal. So that this chapter, the talks between Ramananda, it's got 300 verses plus in it. So it's not just a little conversation that they came to the conclusion in 5 minutes. But fortunately for you and me, I'm not going to go through all 300 verses right now. But so ultimately, it wasn't until, it wasn't right away. So this was verse 57, the beginning when he asked that. And it wasn't until he gets to 67, so 10 more little exchanges later, Ramananda, he gives another talk, and he says, Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, those devotees who have thrown away the impersonal conception of the absolute truth and have therefore abandoned discussing empiric philosophical truths should hear from the self-realized souls, devotees, about your holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities. They should completely follow the principles of devotional service and remain free from illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, animal slaughter, surrendering themselves fully with body and words. They can live in any ashram or social status. Indeed, you are conquered by such persons, although you are always unconquerable. At that point, when it got to that point of this conversation, Lord Chaitanya said, okay, you're getting warmer there. You're getting a little better. That's acceptable, but you can speak some more. So he goes on and on and on. And what is Ramananda revealing in the to Lord Chaitanya, to us, he's revealing higher and higher, more personal and more personal levels of intimate relationships that one can develop with the Supreme Lord. And again, just to try to pull my babbling together as if I had a plan, this information is giving us access. It's giving us access to these higher, more intimate levels of personal relationships with the Supreme Lord that previous to this information, we had no clue about. We had no clue about. And no way to, you know, come to that conclusion by our own great logical understanding and philosophical understanding of so many things. So, yeah, Jai. Thank you. So I just have Jai. I knew you'd be happy I was ending. Thank you. Hare Krishna. We can't wait for your class. It's going to be great. We can tell if you'll ever put your chamara down. Anyway, so that's my teeny-weeny attempt to glorify Lord Chaitanya. I beg for forgiveness for babbling so much. And there's no questions and comments time. Hare Krishna. That makes it easy. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, you know what? And I just looked at this. There's one little piece of note. Okay, one more little thing. You know what? I won't. It's never mind. Okay, Hari Bol. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Because it's longer than I thought. It's about Alice in Wonderland. Remember? So Alice, for those of you who are unfortunate enough that haven't read the story of Alice in Wonderland, it's a very philosophical book at certain points. So Alice falls down the rabbit hole and gets to this world that doesn't make any sense, and she can't figure out which way to go. And at a certain point, she comes up to a path, and she sees, which path should I take? So there just happens to be a very philosophical Cheshire cat in a tree. And she says, she looks up and she sees, which path should I take? And he says, where do you want to go? This is related to us in Krishna consciousness movement, okay? Where do you want to go? And she says, I don't know. I just anywhere. And he says, what does he say? Then any path will take you there. Brilliantly philosophical, isn't it? Isn't it? If you don't know where, and this is back to my quick point of focus our mind in our chanting and our emphasis on developing a love for Sri Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Because if that's where we want, if that's our focus, then we'll get there. Any other people, other religious philosophies, etc., they have some benefit to them. But because people aren't focused on what the ultimate goal is, they go along the path, they receive some benefit, but they get cheated of the ultimate goal. So don't get cheated. Hare Krishna.